Thank you, Michelle, and good morning. Good morning, good morning. I'm not going to spend a long time speaking this morning, but we've got a couple of thoughts to draw out of that passage. And if you're visiting us here this morning, or you've come with family and this is not your regular church, we're delighted to see you and have you with us. If our evening Christmas carol service theme was rejoicing, who came along to that? And we talked about remembering and reaffirming and rejoicing. And so if our theme for the Christmas carol service was rejoicing, today Christmas celebration's theme is hope. Hope. And Christmas time is a great time to sing. And we've been singing and we're going to sing some more, a few more times before we finish. But it's a great thing to sing about hope. And that's exactly what we find Mary doing in this Magnificat, which is the name given to it, as she bursts out singing with great, great hope. And so what does Mary sing about in this very first Christmas season? Well, there's a couple of things. If I had to give this passage that we just read out, which was a song, I would have to give it the title something like, "He Has Done Great Things." So you can go on Spotify, "He Has Done Great Things," and up comes Mary's Magnificat, but maybe not. But technically, you might want to have a longer version to the title of the song, like some songs do, because the first part of the title should read, "He who is mighty has done great things," which is verse 49 of what we just had read out to us. And there are two main areas in which these great things that God has done by giving Mary Jesus. And we want to look at those very quickly this morning. Two great things. Firstly, we see in our passage this morning, and I'll just remind you of it, God has done great things for the weak and to the weak and the humble. And we see that with God, we see that it's like saying it like this: God understands that we are feeble people, that we are fallible people. He understands that we need him for everything. We need God for our coffees. We need God for our rain. We need God for our sleep, to put us to sleep and for us to wake up again. We need God for eternal life. We need God for every breath. We need him to keep our body and our heart working. We need God for everything. We need God to die as a sacrifice for sin so that sin does not have its final victory over us, because we see death all around us. We need God to give us life eternal if we're to have hope. And God did this by sending Jesus, the Messiah, who points everyone to Jesus to show people where life is, where life is found, and where wisdom is found, and where hope is found. It's all found in Jesus. If you're wondering what God is like, God sends himself in the form of his Son to say, "Hey, I am God, and I love you, and I'm here for you because you need me, and I've come to help you." That's what God is doing at Christmas time in sending Jesus. And so God comes to on behalf of the weak and the humble and the poor and the needy. That's people who know and realize that they are like that. Ever had a downtime, ever reflected upon yourself that what on earth is life all about? Even the strongest feel like this at times. And God comes to give strength and hope to the weak and the humble and the poor. And he does this as an expression of his love by sending Jesus. And I just praise God that we get to celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't have a special day for the first few hundred years. But praise God, as the gospel went out, people started to say, "Hey, this is really important. We need to celebrate Jesus' birth." And it's as if God is saying to Mary here, and as Mary sings, "I give you life. You need it, and I'm your supplier. And I keep giving it, and I'll give it in its fullness. And I'm going to do this in its fullness by sending Jesus so that you might know me and that we might be one, that you might know your God." Well, that's the first thing that Mary is singing about. She's singing about that God comes to the weak and the broken and the humble, and he performs great things on their behalf. The second big idea in our passage this morning is that Mary sings that God has done great things for the strong and the proud.
Do you see that? There's a contrast of the strong and the proud. Great things. Verse 51, this is what he's done to the proud. God has scattered the proud. That's a great thing, isn't it? In their thoughts of their hearts. Verse 52, he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those in his humble estate. See the contrast? Verse 53 and 54, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. When Mary sings like this, we may have a temptation to think that God is beating up on the proud and the rich and the well-established. But there's also another way of looking at this, that God will bring the proud and the mighty and the wealthy to their senses. He will take away that which they've trusted in, so that they might truly trust and know the God who is. And so even though God comes to lift up the broken and the weak and the humble, to exalt them, he humbles the proud and the mighty so that they might put their trust in him. That he does a great thing. That he does a great thing for the proud and the wealthy to show them that they are not wealthy and that they have nothing to be pride in themselves, but in the God who gives them everything. And so God is doing great things also for the proud and the wealthy. Mary says these are great things that God has done by giving Jesus and sending his son. But here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Remember, a son that had not yet been given at this point. This is pre-Jesus' birth. Mary is singing about things that really haven't taken place yet. And yet we see in Mary's song that she says, He has done this. He has helped Israel. He has brought down the mighty. He has filled the hungry. He has sent away the rich empty. And yet God had not done any of this so far through Jesus. And yet Mary's saying, he has, in his song. And so the question then is, so why is Mary singing so confidently about what God has done and yet Jesus isn't even born? And the answer to that is, although God had not literally done all these things in their fullness, God had certainly done this throughout Israel's history. And God had promised to do it by sending a Messiah. And the other thing that we need to consider is that God had visited Mary. It really was a strange time, wasn't it? Visions of angels and all these kinds of things, and then Mary becoming pregnant and not actually being with Joseph, and then she races off to see Elizabeth, and then Elizabeth's baby leaps in the womb. It was a strange time, strange personally, strange spiritually, strange politically, so there's senses going on. It was a very tumultuous time indeed. And Mary had an encounter with God, and God had promised her. And friends, the reason why Mary says God has done this, because even though Mary had not experienced all these things yet, she had experienced enough. She had experienced enough of God's grace and God's favor. She'd heard the voice of God. She'd had a spiritual encounter with God. Mary had felt helpless and hopeless at various times in the situation, and yet God turned up and he kept his promise. So on this Christmas morning, let us join Mary in the hope that she had, and joining Mary in praise. A lot of us have felt helpless and hopeless and troubled like Mary. But for Mary and Israel and the world, it wasn't though all these things had come to pass, but Mary did not expect things to go away or to change radically, but she had believed enough. I mean, there were some really strange things. We read that song and we think, oh, wow, everything's going to be wonderful because she's had an encounter with God. And so she's saying all these great things that God has done, but how could she ever imagine that a king would come from her virgin womb? I mean, that's not on the normal agenda. Or that her son would be God in the flesh. Or that her son would be crucified as a dying Messiah. Or a raised Messiah, that he'd come back to life. All this is ahead, and that this Messiah would return to heaven when he was meant to come and restore Israel. Or that this Messiah was for not only the Jews, but for the whole world. Mary was full of hope. because she had received a revelation, but it was all yet to happen. Some wonderful great things were about to happen, but there were also some terrible great things to happen in the next 40 years of Israel's history. Mary knew God had visited her and God had blessed her. And friends, this is our hope, because not because life will go easy from here on in, or not because we know all the twists and the turns of the coming year to bring us to certain places, but because God is faithful. And we see that faithfulness in sending Jesus, the Messiah, to the world. We this year have also been going through some weird stuff. And yet God has also given his church around the world a song of blessing to sing. In some ways, like Mary, we have this song because of Jesus and because of his coming to us to bless us, that we might be a blessing to others, that others would say of Mary, blessed is her, because from her have come many blessings through Jesus Christ, to give us hope who are hopeless. And I'd like us to hear that song this morning now as part of the sharing of God's word. And we've given you a handout to sing along. But the whole point of the song is that God is for us. If you had to sum up what God is like, we would have to say from Mary's song, not only has God done great things, but he is for us. He is for the world. He is for your loved ones. He's for you in strange and unbelievable times, but he is for you. And therefore we have hope not only now, but in the future days. So I'm going to ask Luke to play this. If you'd like to stand or sit or sing along, feel free. I'm probably going to go over there, stand and sing along to it, because God is for us and our hope is in him. Thank you, Luke.
From the bush to the beaches, the migrant to the indigenous, though girt by sea, we're not isolated. We're the great south land of the Holy Spirit. Through the fires and drought, no virus could ever hold us down. Because we were made for such a time as this. So the Lord bless you and keep you, Australia, in the name of Jesus.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations,
and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children,
and the children, and the children.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations,
and your family, and your children, and their children, and their children.
Within you, he is with you, he is with you.
In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going,
in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you, he is for you.
To you from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 2 and verse 3. All went to be registered, each to his own town, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in their field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." Well, if our musicians would come forward, we'll conclude our time together by singing
together. Joy to the world.